Alright, are we ready?
Yeah!
The real reason for the invention of the internet. TalkZone.com.
You're in the ladies' room on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Patricia Washington.
We're back, and thank you for joining us this Monday morning on the Ladies Room. I'm Pat Washington. You're listening here live in living color in the Ladies Room on TalkZone.com. We hope you'll bookmark and come back to the site often. Just a reminder, you can always, if you missed today's show or you missed last week's show, you can always log on to TalkZone.com. Click on the Ladies Room, and all of our shows are right there. So don't worry if you missed that joke or you missed that tip or you missed something that is just wonderful that Professor Goodman has shared with us. Don't worry. You can always go back online, click in, and listen at your leisure. You can also follow us on Twitter. So you can go to twitter.com/TalkZoneRadio and follow us and see what's going on and just keep in the loop. We always appreciate your comments and your suggestions, and we certainly want to remind you to send your wonderful woman nominee to MissPat247@Yahoo.com so that we can give a special salute to all of those wonderful women out here who go about their day making other people's lives a lot better. Maybe they're volunteers, or maybe they work at an agency, or maybe they work with youth or young people in the community, or teach a class. Who knows? But somehow they're making our community a little bit better. So we want to definitely salute them and give you an opportunity to point out one special woman. So send us your wonderful woman nominee to MissPat247@Yahoo.com, and we'll feature them right here in the Ladies Room. But today we're talking about your money and how you're spending it and whether or not that's making you happy. Are you fulfilled? You know, we're agonizing over every single dollar that we're spending in these difficult times. So what is it that makes you happy? What are you spending your money for? And is there a difference between buying a product or a material good for you material girls out there? Is it something that you can have and hold in your hand and wear and be proud of that you can do? Spending money that will be sort of an experiential high, something that for days, weeks, months on end, you'll be talking about that particular experience. Maybe it's a once-in-a-lifetime vacation that you can spend and chalk it up to mental health. That's what I do every time I spend some money. It makes me feel good when I eat those sugar babies or something from Baskin Robbins, or I take myself to a nice restaurant when I'm really, really stressed and I just want to relax and get away. I'll go to one of my favorite restaurants and I'll order my favorite meal. And it, yes, I'm spending money, but it's making me happy. And then I can face the day and I can face the world and I can go ahead and conquer any challenge because I've got that pasta under my belt. So we are joined by Professor Goodman. He is an assistant professor at Washington University at the Olin School of Business in the marketing department. And he's done some research into this whole idea of fulfillment and how and what we're spending money on and whether or not those material things versus some of those experience. So I'm guessing, Professor Goodman, money can buy happiness depending on what you're spending that money on.
Yeah, I mean, we do show that the experiences do lead to more happiness than material purchases if they turn out positively. And there is studies that show as well, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your perspective, that there is some correlation with income and happiness. It's small, but there is some evidence of it.
Well, what about when people, I know that you were asking questions about their experiences and whether or not the experience tended to be good or bad, and that determined probably how they felt about that decision to actually have sort of this experiential thing. Did it matter whether they spent that, they had that experience last year or 5 years ago or last month in terms of their feelings about it?
We actually didn't find an effect of time when we looked at the recall of purchases. We do see a drop off when we brought some people into the lab and we had them either consume experiences. They would listen to music or video games, or they would consume a material good like a pencil or keychains or rulers. And we did see a drop-off right away. In 7 minutes in a day, we see a big drop-off. But when we do a retrospective happiness, we don't see a big difference from, say, 6 months to years.
So if they had a good experience, it didn't matter if it was 5 years ago or 5 days ago. It stayed with them.
You know, unfortunately, we didn't focus on that, and I can't mm-hmm. say for certain. I can't say for sure. Most of the purchases that people were recalling were between, say, 6 months and maybe a couple of years.
Okay.
So I think once it gets past that, this is a conjecture, this is just a hypothesis, but once it gets past, say, 30 days, a few months, then there really isn't a whole lot more adaptation.
So in your view, we talked a little bit earlier about how the marketing folks, and you're in marketing, how the advertising people will slant things. How does this really affect, and I'm sure they're using all sorts of data and research in order to craft those clever little commercials. What does this mean in terms of the business side of getting people to spend money?
Well, I mean, we've already seen kind of a movement to this service economy we hear about, or experiential consumption and experiential economy. So we have to think that we have this idea of materialism and marketers going together. And the reality is that marketers are actually, their marketing experience is just as much as material goods. You know, they're advertising for plane tickets and hotels and amusement parks.
Mm-hmm.
Family vacations, so those concerts, those are all experiences that there's a lot of marketing involved as well. Marketing's kind of neutral on that point.
And I know people say this all the time. What the difference between advertising and marketing and you're right. I think people look at it and they think that it's us against them, and these people, and they sit in these labs and they come up with all of these different ways to tap into our psyches and make us spend this money.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem to be like an us against them sort of a mentality. But how do you sort through all of that? You know, I'm sitting here and I'm confronted with, okay, vacation, or is it really going to come down to the type of person I am? As we talked about earlier, am I more materialistic, or do I value time spent with family? Or can we be easily influenced by some of those images and messages that come forth out of the advertising campaigns?
Yeah, so from a marketing standpoint, we are easily influenced, but it's not this controlling influence, okay? It's not that we... marketer can really come in and have us do things that we really don't want to do.
We've been hypnotized. Don't you know that?
Right. It's not.
They're coming in there with a little gold watch.
A good marketing campaign and a good experiment, if they can show 10 to 15% change, then that's huge. That's big. It's advertising and marketing really helps out at the margins and helps communicate products and ideas out to consumers. The way I see it as well is that my research, I'm really interested in the consumer and understanding what makes the consumer tick. And so I also do some research that helps nonprofits to see how they can increase their donations and what type of mailings and letters can they send out to their consumers and constituency to try to increase donations. So it's really a tool that anybody can use. Even consumers can use it to help them make better purchases.
For example,
marketers can use it. So, what we've been talking about is that if you're looking to spend money, it seems that experiences are a pretty good way to go. A colleague of mine, Lee Van Boven at the University of Colorado, also suggests, and he's the one who's had some great studies on this as well, on experiences, and he's conjectured, and I kind of believe this as well, is that the important part of experiences is that there's a social, oftentimes there's a social component. So you said spending time with your family. Well, there's a lot of studies that show that spending time with family and friends, that is going to have a huge increase in your happiness, a big impact. So experiences you tend to, when you go to a concert, you tend to go with friends. Whereas if you go buy a couch, it tends to be more of an individual purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So when,
we can use that
to help.
So when it gets down to it, this whole idea, I mean, there's absolutely nothing new. We know the commercials come and it's whether it's sale, sale, sale and get there tomorrow. And it is really directing us, but you have to be predisposed to it in one way or another to begin with. Would you say, or it wouldn't make any difference?
Right. You're not going to, there isn't any sort of subliminal marketing that's been shown to work. There isn't anything that gets us. We do have free will. We're very stubborn people. Consumers are very, and this is why it's fascinating to me, is that consumers are very difficult to understand. Business and marketers are actually very simple. They just want to maximize profit. Consumers, on the other hand, we're inconsistent. We change our minds. We're unpredictable. And so it makes it really challenging for marketers.
Do you think that would account for some of the buyer's remorse, or, you know, you have this impulse spending and they go out and they buy it all and then they go take it all back?
Yeah. I mean, we're not very sure about our own purchases. So, you know, one effect that's been shown in consumer behavior is that people who actually buy things and without a return policy, they have no chance of returning it. They tend to be happier than the people that bought it with a return policy.
You're kidding me. Why is that?
Because you're forced.
You know you can't take it. Oh, so now you're forced to keep it. Is that it?
You're forced to keep it, but you've convinced yourself that you like it that much more. Because you don't have, you're not spending the next few weeks saying, do I return it? Do I not? Do I really like it? I'm not sure. And so but if you can't return it, you have to convince yourself that I love this car or I love this shirt. It was no returns. It was on sale, so I have to love it.
Now, see, that is the perfect excuse. I want you to know you've just given women everywhere a free pass. So now they're all going to go out and run look for those stores that have a no return policy and see and say, okay, see, now there you I have to keep it. I love that. So we're going to write that one down. That'll go down in history. What is there anything else that we can take away from some of your research or any insights that you'd like to share with us? We've probably got, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes left. But is there anything else you want to share with us, something that we could take away that might be good as we move forward? And if people want to find out more about your research and what it is you've been working on, how can they do that?
Well, to get more information about my research, the WashU webpage is a good place to start. I always post my research up there and what I'm working on at the Olin Business School website. I think, you know, some big takeaways is that we're still trying to figure out what makes people happy and what type of things that we can go and make people happy. It's this new wave of positive psychology has really taken hold over the last 10 to 20 years to focusing on the positive side of psychology, not just all the negative things. But there aren't any simple answers. There's no, you know, easy way out. Materialistic people tend to be a little less happy, correlational, but that doesn't mean that we can, you know, if you change, you will necessarily be more happy. There's a lot of correlational stuff that we don't know, right? But the important part is that we do know that, you know, social interactions, friends and family, spending time with them does make people very happy. And that's a huge predictor.
If you like your friends and your family, you know, sometimes they stay a little too long.
And if not, maybe you can shop around for that too.
Then it's not a good experience at all. Listen, we want to thank you for spending some time in the ladies' room today. This is just a fascinating topic to me. I always wonder, you know, what is it that makes people tick? Why do we spend money the way we do? And do we feel guilty or do we feel bad? And I have friends who we have this conversation all the time. They go out and they buy things. Well, why did I buy that? Or that made me feel good. Or you look for an excuse to shop. So we know that there's an emotional connection. So it's nice to know that we have a Washington University professor who's actually looking at this research and trying to help make some sense of it. What other studies do you have coming up that might be of interest to us?
Well, I do some research on how consumers make choices from large assortments. So, you know, when we're faced with 30 options to choose from, does that make us happier? Does that lead to more regret and decision difficulty, satisfaction? And, you know, there's been a lot of research that shows that, you know, one way to actually increase satisfaction and minimize regret is to choose from smaller sets, say 5 or 6 options. So it's exciting to choose between, say, 30 or 40 chocolates or 30 or 40 or, you know, hundreds of different options. But that can actually lead to a lot of conflict and difficulty and regret. Just trying to restrict our choices can help us out, or seeking out some advice to find the best option for us.
I like that. Smaller choices, quality choices. Well, I really appreciate you taking some time to sit in with us at the Ladies' Room today. It's just a fascinating subject. I'm sure we'll be hearing more about as people call me and talk about what it is they're spending their money on. So if you're a material girl, there might be hope for you yet. Find some of those good experiences. And money can buy happiness. It just depends on what you're spending that money on. Professor Goodman, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to check out more about his research, you can join him. You can check out the Washington University website. If you want to keep up with us here in Talk Zone, you can find us on twitter.com/TalkZoneRadio. I'm Pat Washington. Thank you so much for joining me right here in the Ladies' Room. We will be back next Monday. We've got some upcoming shows talking to you about full-figured models. We'll be talking about your bra in a couple of weeks. All right? Stay with us. The Ladies' Room will be back next Monday.